Good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're with us. It's good to be home. We've been traveling quite a bit. We went and had family vacation with my personal family. And then Mandy's sister got married on Friday up in the northeast corner of Arkansas in a little town called 56, Arkansas. You ever heard of that? I doubt it. Neither have I. And I lived there my life. But it was exciting to see them get together. I was able to perform the ceremony. It was just a great time to be with family. The flip side of that is we got to get home at 2 a.m. and on Friday evening and drive all the way in yesterday. But it was good to be home last night, sleep in my own bed, and to be with our family here this morning. We love to be with you. We're excited. Our vision is to plant churches all across this world and spread God's fame. We see that as God's design and His plan. He said, and He gives us the Great Commission, which tells us to spread His fame everywhere. Our mission, how we see it accomplished, is by what? It's by becoming disciples that make disciples of Christ. We become disciples by connecting to God and growing in a relationship with Him. That's the Great Commandment, isn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's Matthew 22. It tells us to connect and grow in our relationship with God. But then He gives us the Great Commission, and He says to go into all the world, He said, and make disciples, baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey the commands of the Lord. And that's making disciples. And we do that by partnering together and leading others in that journey. So that's the mission, to accomplish the vision of planting churches all across this world. And we're so excited to see what's doing. Some of you may have seen in Salina, they have their own building now, and their movement church. Yeah, give God praise. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be actually speaking with them and getting to be with them as well. So we're just excited how God is building His church. It's not about us, it's about Him and lifting up His name. And so we're just excited. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be, the primary scripture for this series is Romans chapter 13. But you can also start in Isaiah 14, if those of you that like to use the good old Bible. If you have your Bible app, you'd like to follow that as well. If you would like to look on, if you have iTunes or Google Play, you can look in there and you can download the Bible app. And on that, you go to events and you'll actually have an outline of the sermon today as well as all the scriptures. So that's just there for you as a benefit. I want to speak to you today on something that's been stirring in my heart for some time. I've titled this series, Under God. We were founded as one nation under God. One of the most amazing things that we have is the ability to have a democracy. It's not a dictatorship. There's a democracy where the people rule, the people have a voice, the people have a say. But yet what has happened over the series, over the time, as time has gone on, there has been a very big disconnect within our Western culture. Because our Western culture has been conditioned for the democracy government, it has the ability where we all have a voice and every voice is heard, and every voice is supreme. But yet when you study the Word of God, you realize that the Word of God was not set up under that setting. It is a kingdom of God. And in that kingdom of God, there is a hierarchical, there is a way of authority in that it flows. Our belief is that everyone has a voice, but yet what happens is it often becomes in direct opposition of the authority of God. One of the things I've noticed heavily, and you may as well, is the blatant disrespect that children have for their parents. Now, I grew up in a way that we disrespected at times too, right? But it was a different era. Come on now, some of you are going to have to help me on this. When I grew up, if you talk back to your mama, you better be ducking. Because something's coming at you. It's either a hand. With my mom, it was either a hand, a shoe, whatever she could get her hand at was going to come right across your face and teach you, you don't talk back. You know, when I grew up, there were times that people would say, you know, I'm going to put soap in your mouth. And they actually poured that stuff, you know, put that bar in. I'll never forget the day I saw my friend's mama do that. I was like, dear God, she's putting soap in his mouth, you know. I'm going to clean your mouth. And I'm thinking, that is crazy. But it was a different world, wasn't it? It was a world where the biggest issue in school was don't chew gum and don't talk, right? You might get a detention. But yet you can see that in the world that we're living in today, there are times, it's insane. We were in academy sports one day, and our little boys, we were walking around, and this kid wanted a certain pair of shoes. And he was, and this was several years ago, so the boys were little. And at that age, now, not that they have a good filter now, but they had no filter then. They just said what they thought. And they were there, and this kid was literally screaming at his mom because he wanted a certain pair of shoes. He wanted a pair of Nikes, and the mom was trying to say, I can't afford the Nikes. How about these over here that are Adidas? They're on sale. And he's like, they're terrible. They're trash. And he just starts screaming at his mom. And I quickly kind of, you know, it's kind of one of those scenes where everybody stops and looks, and you're trying not to stare, but you're staring, you know. So I'm like, boys, let's go. Come on, let's walk away. We're walking away. And about the time there's that, and you know it happens like this, right? Because it's never when the kid's screaming and yelling. About the time there's a pause, Harrison says, that boy needs his butt whooped. Amen, brother, but let's keep on going, you know. You know, it's kind of one of those, and they just looked at you, and you're like, hey, how you doing? See you later, you know. It was one of those awkward moments, right? But yet it emphasizes what we have. We have an issue with authority. But what's happened is those kids have now grown up. We as kids have grown up. And many times they've never understood how authority operates. And now that authority goes into the workforce, many people, many coworkers, yourself, you may have seen that were literally just challenged the authority they have above them because they have a voice and they need to be heard. Don't misunderstand me. It's not that you don't have a voice. It's not that you shouldn't be heard. But you need to understand, as a believer in Christ, as somebody who is under the authority of God, you have to understand how authority operates. And that when you directly oppose authority, you are directly opposing God. In this series, I want to show this because I believe this is becoming an epidemic. Because it's not just shifted within the workforce, it's actually even in the government, is it not? And even us as people that want to have a voice, and we do have a voice, and there is a way to say what we want, but yet oftentimes we even are in opposition to authority and in rebellion. I want you to listen to me. This is, may not be the most popular message, and you're saying, dude, you're meddling now. You're getting into that. But I want you to understand that God has an authority structure. He has a plan how he wants us to operate. His word lays it out. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be mapping that out. We're going to be unpacking the questions. Because the reality is, how do I submit to somebody who I don't agree with? How do I submit to somebody when they've wronged me and they've hurt me? How should I have to submit to that? There's no reason I should have to, is there? But yet in the Word of God, we'll see how it plays out. When is it okay for me to say, I do not submit to that authority? I step away from that authority. When is that okay? We're going to talk about that over the next couple weeks. Because there is an authority structure that God has placed. And as believers, it is imperative that we understand how it operates. Because when we understand how it operates, it will operate that way not only within our personal lives, not only within our personal homes, but in our area and how we live, our environment. It will become a filter the way we think. And it's important. First thing we have to understand is that the Bible tells us that we should submit to all authorities, but we have to understand that God's kingdom is a theocracy, not a democracy. Now, this is huge. This is something that's very hard for us to grasp. The kingdom of God, when you look at the authority structure of God, God's kingdom is a theocracy, not a democracy. Now, let's unpack that. A democracy is what? The people rule. The people have a voice. They then set forth what it is. A theocracy, theo meaning God, means he rules. Now, when we say God rules, we're all like, amen, right? Yeah, God rules. But you understand that God is sovereign over all things. How do we see this theocracy play out? A great example that is in Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14, we see kind of what it's unpacked. Now, I can't read the entire passage, but I want you to go back. As I say always, you study these passages. Go back and read Isaiah 14, and you're going to see this unfold and what happens. Satan, who is Lucifer, who is one of the archangels at the time, he's in charge of all the angels. He's serving God. He's there under the kingdom of God. He decides that he gets a little too big for his britches and decides that he wants to then be in control and now be God and supersede God. And during in Isaiah 14, it unpacks for you and lets you see where he says, no, God says, that cannot happen. It will not happen. And because you are doing this, there will be consequences. Look at Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. This is God speaking. He says, how you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of God far away in the north. I will climb the highest heavens and be like the Most High. Instead, you will be brought down to the place of the dead, down to its lowest depths. Now, when you continue to read in this passage, you're going to see he literally talks about throwing him into the pit and where Satan, how he roams the earth. Now, we also see in Revelation chapter 4, we see heaven in its authority structure. We see how God is on the throne, and upon the throne we know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and we see that there are cherubim, seraphims, and they're all worshiping, the 24 elders, they're all worshiping the Lord. And it literally unpacks for you there how every time you worship God, all of heaven begins to worship God. So if you can just kind of do the math, in a world today where the time frames are different, and even us as an individual, and all individuals are different, anytime you're worshiping God, God's being worshiped. So what does that kind of compute for you? It shows you that God is continuously being worshiped by heaven. All of heaven is worshiping him. And you can see that everything lines up through his authority. But yet, in our world, we look at the theocracy, or we look at that and we would say, well, if the hierarchy is in that way, then that must be tyranny. But that's not how God operates. God has an authority structure that he has set out in heaven, and it applies to us here on earth. However, we have to follow through his word and understand it. What happens is when we don't agree with authority, we question it, which is not wrong in itself, but it's what we do after the fact that begins to cause problems. Because sometimes we quietly have complaints, then we begin to talk to other people, then we begin to peacefully protest, and before you know it, we're in direct rebellion against the authority. But you have to say, where does authority come from? As we see, God's kingdom is a theocracy. The authority, all authority, you have to understand, comes from God. Now, this may or may not give you a little bit of peace during this crazy election season. But all authority comes from God. A great example of this is another incredible story you can study this week, is Daniel chapter 4. In Daniel chapter 4, you're going to see King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful ruler on the world. He was the most powerful ruler on earth. There was no one more powerful than him. He had all kingdoms. Everybody was subject to him. And he got a little proud of himself. And he started saying, hey, you know what? I am the most powerful. All his people, all his advisors were saying, you're the best. You're the smartest. You're the brightest. No one can compare to you. Let everybody begin to worship you and forget about worshiping God. Well, that caused a problem. Why? Because God is supreme. So Daniel goes to him and says, hey, listen, you're messing up. Here's the prophecy set forth. You must understand that God is sovereign of all people, and he gives them to anyone he wishes. Look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. It says, the decision was announced by the messengers. The Holy One declare a verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign of all the kingdoms of earth, and he gives them to anyone he wishes, and he sets them over the lowliest of people. So what you understand from this passage, and it lists that out over and over and over, and if you read it out, you're going to discover how Nebuchadnezzar literally ends up on his knees, acting and barking like a dog, exiled from all his people because of his decision to think he was better than God. And God humbled him. It's a great story. But here's what I want you to get from that story. The Most High God is sovereign over all the kingdoms of man. And he gives them to anyone he wishes. In other words, leadership is stewardship. if you serve God and if you follow in His word, now what does it mean about the people who aren't serving God? It doesn't matter. All authority is under the kingdom of God. So in other words, God allows even, and when you look and you study through the Old Testament, you study through history, you will see even upon the children of Israel, when leaders that were bad came into play, you know what it often was? It was because the consequence of the decisions they made. They were not serving God. They were away from God. They thought they could do it on their own. So God brought judgment upon them in the Old Testament, and that's what happened. They were separated from God. They got leaders that weren't as great. Now, we know that now we live in the age of grace, and God's judgment is going to be reserved for the end. In Matthew 25, when we talk about the judgment of the sheep and goats, in Revelation chapter 20, where it talks about the final judgment. However, there is still consequence for sin, is there not? And when we step away, you remember the umbrella. When we have God in our heart, we have the umbrella, God's covering covers. But when we step away from that covering, what happens? We are susceptible to the enemy and what the enemy throws. But you have to understand that all authority lays under God. Now, as a democracy, we have a voice, don't we? And it is our right and our privilege and our responsibility to exercise that voice. And I realize many say, well, what if we don't like either one? I saw a picture the other day that had the two several candidates listed, you know, the signs. And then it was in the midst of a tree lot and it said trees for sale. And somebody said, I choose trees. You know, because they didn't like any of the candidates. But the truth is this. We have a right and a privilege to vote. What do you do when you don't like anyone? You need to pray and ask the Lord what to do. But there are men and women who have sacrificed their lives for you to vote. It's our responsibility to do our part. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I'm going to tell you to pray and seek the voice of God and do what you feel is best. Because in the end, you're responsible for you. But here's what I want you to understand from this, that the authority structure, no matter how we vote, it still falls under God's authority. Why? Because God is sovereign over the kingdoms of man, and He gives them to anyone He wishes. And whether we like who is our president or not who is our president, they're still there because God allowed them to be there. And our responsibility is to fall under the authority and respond accordingly. Now, let's go a little deeper into this. Who does authority affect? Well, everyone is under authority, so therefore everyone must submit to authority. You're like, come on now, but what about some of these politicians who I don't agree with? Well, let me just read with you Romans chapter 13. In the book of Romans, Paul is writing to the church of Rome. It's really interesting because if you study the history of Rome, you see that Rome literally declines, much like America has begun to decline. And what's going on is there's some Roman issues, some politics that the people of God, the church people, say, I don't agree with. Does this sound familiar? And we, because we're God's children under God's authority, we don't have to submit to authority. Let's read Romans 13. He said, everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Does this sound familiar? Daniel chapter 4, doesn't it? God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men. He gives them to anyone He wishes. This is reiterating what we already know. God's authority is supreme. And what Paul is writing to the church of Rome and telling them, you are responsible as an individual, as a believer of God, to submit to the authority that is under you. Now, we don't like this. This isn't our happy thoughts, is it? Our happy place. But it's what the Word of God tells us. But let me tell you what happens when you submit to authority. Because when we look at this, we say, well, this just isn't right. This isn't wrong. And listen, there are times that we do not submit to authority. And I will unpack that, like I said, over this series. We're going to flush that out. When do you not submit to authority? We're going to flush all that out, okay? But what I want you to grasp today is that God's plan is for you to submit to authority as a believer, as somebody who understands. But let me tell you the benefits of submitting to authority. You want to hear those? Let's get to the good part, right? It's like, man, it's a little heavy. Let's give me some good news. Let me show you what happens when you do. In Psalms 91, the entire chapter, it tells us this. those who live in the shelter of the Most High. The Most High, does that sound familiar, the Most High? The same Most High in Daniel chapter 4? The same Most High in Isaiah 14? Are you tracking with me? David said, those who submit, those who live in the shelter of the Most High, will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Let me pause there for a second. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night. Do not, the arrows will fly. What is he saying? It's going to happen, isn't it? There's going to be sorrow around you. There will be struggles around you. Oftentimes, there's a misconception that when I live in the shelter of the Most High, I never have to go through the rain. No, 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 no. There's rain. There's pain. There's problems. But you have shelter in that storm. Okay? Let's read on. He says, though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make, what's the if? If is what? It's posing a question. It's not you just get this. This is your choice again. If you're dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, if you do this, this is what happens. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near you, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust me in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Now, we can see from that, going back to the umbrella, when you rest in the shelter of the Most High, you have protection from the storm. You have protection from the storm. That doesn't mean it doesn't storm. That doesn't mean there isn't pain. What it means is you have protection. So how do I rest in that shelter? By coming under the authority of God. I'll admit with you, if we're living in a scary time. Our nation has made decisions that have directly contradicted the Word of God. We have leadership in place that has made decisions that will bring a grave effect on this nation that we live in. And let's be very real today. The America you've grown up in will not be the same one your children do. And that's scary. If you have no hope. But when you have hope, you know that my hope is built on him. That yes, the decisions that were made, consequences will happen, whether we like it or don't like it. We look and we say, well, sin is sin in the eyes of God, and that is true. A lie is a sin. Murder is a sin. And we know that sin separates you from God. And God looks at that. If you lie or you murder, they're both a sin. Both of them. And they separate you from God. But on both occasions, you can ask God to forgive you of your sins. And he does what? He forgives you. Does it warrant a forgiveness? Well, in our eyes, oftentimes, no. But make no mistake, while there is no differential between sin, there is a difference in the consequences of sin. The consequence for a lie is much less than the consequence for murder. Is it not? So when we sin, when we separate ourselves from God, there are consequences that we have to deal with that we don't often like. Therefore, we know that even with our nation, with some of the decisions that are made, there are consequences that we're going to face simply because of the direction that we've and the decisions that were made. Now, if we live in a state of fear and we say, oh God, the nation's going down, we're going to be destroyed, we could live in that fear, couldn't we? But my word tells me to submit to the authority and know that the Lord is my shelter. If I live in the shelter of the Most High, I can dwell in the shadows of the Almighty. If I dwell in His presence, He's going to take care of me. Does that mean I'm not going to have problems? Nope, there are going to be problems. But I recognize the authority of God. I recognize how it is and what I should be doing and how I should be living and how I should be operating. Now, what happens if I resist against the authority, rebel? Let me read Romans 13 one more time. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authorities come from God. Those in position of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. It doesn't mince words, does it? It tells us very clearly we have a responsibility to understand the authority structure of God. And one of the most important things for you and I today, before we can correct it anywhere else, we have to correct it right here. The Bible says that rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. In other words, if you look at the Word of God, let's go to Genesis. What was the problem? Let's go back to Isaiah. What was the problem with Satan? Rebellion. Got kicked out of heaven. What was the problem with Adam and Eve? Rebellion. They thought they could, tree of knowledge of good and evil, separated from God. We could just unpack the whole Bible. Where is there an issue every time? Rebellion. Now, there are moments when we do go against it, such as our nation here today. We're here today because people went against the authority. But there is a very line of Scripture that talks about that, and we're going to talk about that in the next couple of weeks. But the most important thing, the foundation of this series, the foundation of what I want you to grasp, is that God has an authority structure. It is your responsibility to honor the authority and submit to the authority that God has placed under you. If you cannot do that, you're in danger of the consequences because God has a plan. But here's the beauty. If you do that, wow, you can dwell in the shelter of God. The shadow of the Almighty. Can you imagine how that feels? Let's pray. If you're here today and you do not know Christ, we never want to close a service without giving you that opportunity. Maybe you can say, yeah, I can relate to that. I've been trying to do things my own way. I've been in rebellion. I've been directly against God, and it hadn't worked out too well for me. But you realize today that God has authority, and God wants to give you hope. He wants to give you peace. And that when you accept Him as your Savior, you then dwell in His presence. You have Him there to help you. And you've been walking this road alone for some time, and let's just be real, you're tired and you're weary. But today you realize that there is help, there is hope, there is a chance that you can have peace in this storm. And I'm here today to tell you there is, and that answer is Jesus Christ. When you accept Him into your heart, He then gives you strength and peace and allows you to understand that you're going to make it. And if you're here today, and you are separated from God because of the decisions you've made in your life, but today you want to reconnect or connect with Him, I want to give you that chance. With no one looking around, if you're saying, you know what, that's me today. The Lord's been speaking to me. I want to make Him Lord of my life. With no one looking around, just make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Anybody, anywhere today, you say, pray for me. I want to make a decision to follow Christ today. Amen. Anyone else? Anybody else today? Listen, we're not perfect. All of us make mistakes. Everyone in here has sinned. But that's where we can ask God to forgive us, and His grace covers us. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Anyone else saying, hey, I want to make God Lord of my life. Amen. Anybody else? Praise God. We're going to pray together. We're not here to embarrass you. We're all going to sit right where we are. We're going to pray. To not single anybody out, I'm going to ask those of you that have accepted Christ your Savior that you would pray with us. Those of you that accepted it, let it be a reminder of you making that commitment and what it's meant to you in your life. But for those of you that responded and said, hey, I want to make Him Lord of my life today, would you begin to pray and make this your prayer? Let's pray together right now. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I want to make you Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Change me to be more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Those of you that made that decision, all of heaven is rejoicing. We rejoice with you. It's a beginning of the journey. It's connecting to Christ. And when you connect to Him, that's the start. Well, how do you move beyond that? Begin to get in your the Word of God, read your Bible, begin to pray. On the Bible app, there is an actual videos there for you. You can go and you can look at how to begin that discipleship process. There's videos on YouTube that we've produced for you to help you in that discipleship journey. If you'd like to come connect, be a part, begin serving and coming to events that we have here where we can connect with you. That's another way, connecting to the body of Christ. You can go to the website, I believe it's there as well. But it's all a part of a journey of becoming a disciple that makes disciples of Christ. Don't just make it a prayer, but make it a lifestyle. Make a change. Get connected to the body and see what God can do with your life and change you and help you and shelter you in this storm. But I want to do one more thing. I want to pray for us. In closing, that I can tell you in my life, there's been many times, and I'll share stories as we go across the series. There's been many times in my life where I didn't do this well. I didn't submit well, and I reaped the consequences for it. And I think if we're honest, there are times we all have our opinions that we want to share. But what I want to challenge you today, and I'm going to pray a prayer for all of us. I want to challenge you today to check, put a check in your heart. How are you treating the authority above you? How are you treating that boss? The one that's a punk, right? You know what I'm talking about. Let's be real. How are you speaking of our governing authorities? I know that hurts, don't it? I've been there. When we've thought that certain people weren't the brightest, we had certain words for them. I'm not going to go too deep. I know what you're thinking. I've thought it too. But let me tell you something. God is sovereign. You don't have to worry. The sky is not falling. You don't have to worry about the nation. Yeah, we should be concerned. What should our response? Philippians chapter 4 says, don't worry about it, but do what? Pray about it. Just begin to pray. God, help them. Every time you want to trash them, make that prayer instead of trash. Say, God, please help so-and-so. I know for your boss, you might be saying tomorrow or Tuesday, help them, Jesus. But the more you begin to pray for them, the more you'll find God will give you the grace to handle it. You know it? But this week, be conscientious of how you treat the authority that God's placed over you. And know this. You mark this. I can say this as a guarantee. You know why? Because it's in the Word of God. If you honor the authority that God's placed over you, even when you don't want to, God will honor you and you'll begin to see blessings in your life that you haven't seen because you're willing to operate under the authority structure God has had. Amen? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray for every person that is here. Lord, we are human. We get frustrated. We get irritated. We say things we often shouldn't. We act in ways we often shouldn't. But Lord, I pray today that you would help us today, that you would begin this week, begin to show us ways that we've not been respecting authority. And Lord, help us to respect them in the proper way. And by doing so, God, we can now rest in the shelter and the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, I pray that you would help us today, strengthen us in that journey. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.